Coleman.
Aye.
Hostica.
Aye.
Burrows.
Aye.
Tru.
Aye. Motion's adopted. We did not adopt the City of Portland recommended amendments, but I would like to throw that into the interim committee discussion and have us take a very close look at it during the interim. We do have a joint committee during the interim. It's made up generally of 9 representatives and 7 senators. We meet 2 days a month, and we prepare legislation for 85. As I read the committee today, I think we are uncomfortable making that decision in this bill today, but I think it's a topic that we ought to look at in the interim and consider for 87. So unfortunately, we weren't able to come to any decision on that today, but we will look at it in the interim and hopefully be prepared to do something that might be more satisfactory to you in 87.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
James Stone.
Just to let Representative Burrows know that her intuition was maybe correct on the floating home. We made a loan on a floating home and went down there to check our collateral about a year later, and there was nothing there but the ponton that it should be sitting on. So things can happen.
How much collateral did that?
That was a pretty big loan. It looked a ponton in the air.
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary.
I'm not sure whether I should ask if it was Coon or not, but they had the same problem with mobile homes that probably occasionally because they suspected you.
The next bill before us is Senate Bill 181, and we did not move forward with Senate Bill 181 last time we had it up for work session because Representative Traeger wanted to look at a potential amendment. This was the bill, wasn't it?
Yes.
First of all, Steve, would you tell us, number one, what would be accomplished in the original bill if we passed it? Secondly, could you articulate Representative Traeger's concern, and if you have an amendment drafted for consideration to reflect that, present it, and then let's move into decision making. Steve?
Okay, the first part of the bill in Section 2 deals with the Department of Revenue being able to accept payment for delinquent taxes using credit cards. The second section of the bill, Section 3, actually deals with bad checks received by the Department of Revenue that allow them to assess a penalty for repeated receipt of bad checks from a taxpayer. The penalty was amended for the minimum to be $25, but that's the amendment with the bill, 3 times the amount of the check up to $500. The rest of the bill deals with inheritance and gift taxes, basically making the collection of those correspond to be done in the same manner as income taxes, with the phase out of the, or ending of the inheritance and gift tax procedure, except for the pickup tax, there would still be some collection operations on an ongoing basis. The concern was with Section 4, where there is a 6-year limit that the department would have to sue for payment of the taxes in court, that is, taxes that have already been assessed. And with the change to correspond to the same manner as income taxes are collected, that would no longer, that 6-year limit would no longer be in the statutes.
There would be
no limit?
No limit.
Okay.
Representative Traeger?
Mr. Chair, I met with Barbara Seymour, representative of the department, about this issue, and we talked about it quite a bit. Effectively, there still will be a limit, in that the department will use their warrant procedures, and the warrants have to be renewed at least once every 10 years. So it changes, if anything, that limitation from 6 to 10 years. And then they've got to go through the refiling of the warrant procedure, which in effect could take them into court if there were any real major objections. Because of that, I did not ask for any amendments to be drafted on that part of the issue. It seemed logical, and I guess they convinced me.
Oh, okay, good. Further discussion? I guess the only issue before us then is the subcommittee recommendation that the $100. Let's see, where are we?
Mr. Chair.
That the $100 minimum penalty on page one, line 23 be deleted and $25 be substituted in its place. Representative Hanlon?
If I recall correctly, we adopted that amendment and we're ready.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Chief Treasurer?
On the same bill, separate issue, but back to the $100, $500. I did receive a letter from someone that was interested in this, and they were questioning why we had these kind of limits on the amount of penalty on the check, and whether those were different, in fact, from what private business or anyone else may charge in a penalty for a bad check. Their comment was that maybe the $500, I suppose it was three times, and they're talking about, you know, that kind of a check, maybe it's okay. I don't, but maybe the department could address that or someone. What's different between this kind of allowance of a penalty and what anyone else may charge in a penalty for bad checks?
Good. Introduce yourself for the record, if you would, please. You have a sense for the question. If you do, please respond.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bruce Loudon from the Oregon Department of Revenue. And in response to your question, Representative Treherne, the proposed language and the penalties are identical to what they are in private industry, other than private industry is the 100 to 500 as we had initially proposed.
Thank you.
The difference between the state and private industry is that private industry has to go through a court proceeding to be able to collect that money, and the state would not. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Not a question, just a motion.
I'll take it.
I move SB 181 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 181 as amended before the due pass recommendation. Let me clarify. We have adopted the $25 amendment, Steve.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any further discussion on the motion? Zelda, please call the roll.
Representative McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Treherne?
Aye.
Flurry? Hanlon?
Aye.
Ostiker?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Okay.
Burroughs?
Aye.
And Shoups?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Tom, would you please carry Senate Bill 181 on the floor? Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
The next issue before us for work session is Senate Bill 182. Steve, would you, Representative Burroughs, which member of the committee?
Representative Hanlon.
Okay, Representative Hanlon, lead off, and any assistance that you want from Steve? Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 182 is at the request of the Department of Revenue, and Section 1, in essence, allows the department to allow for withholding of payment of taxes, allows the department to develop some discretion. The reason for Section 2 is because they don't have discretion under the current statute, and we have situations where one would have a Vancouver employee or a Vancouver employer with Oregon employees, and the Vancouver employer would be extremely large and would have, because of the size of the company, have certain reporting requirements in Oregon if they report on withholding to the state of Oregon. This causes the department to deal with that out-of-state employer to either say follow our rules for withholding on a very frequent basis or not at all, because there's no discretion in the department. And Section 2 allows some discretion in dealing with that employer. It's my understanding that employer, we don't have jurisdiction over that employer for the purposes of withholding Oregon taxes. Second part of this bill eliminates ministers from withholding under the income tax withholding, and in essence places them on rather payment of estimated taxes. And we have amendments that deal with two other, well, with one other item. We have federal civil servant service retirees and military retirees who would prefer, at their option, to have voluntary Oregon withholding from their retirement benefits rather than making estimated tax payments, and the amendments allow for such option with the federal retirees at their request only. Steve, I don't know whether I've covered it all. I turn it over to you.
Let me add a few items. First, going back to the amendments, the first part of the amendments clarifies Section 2 of the bill, where it does give the department discretion to change the withholding payment schedule if the current schedule is a burden on the taxpayer. There's three portions to the remaining section of the amendments. There is voluntary withholding for federal civil service pensions allowed. Again, voluntary. The military retirees is a separate section. Again, voluntary on their part to have withholding. The Department of Revenue would have to enter into agreements with the proper federal agency to accomplish that. And then the other portion of the amendments deals with other periodic payments by an insurance company because of an annuity or out of an IRA or deferred comp. The financial institution making those payments would be required to withhold unless the recipient specifically requests that there not be withholding. So it's kind of the reverse situation from the military retiree and the civil servant retiree in that regard. The other another section of the bill deals with calculation of interest payments on withholding. Right now, it's calculated from each payment due date. This change would make the interest calculation begin at the end of the quarter when the return is filed by the employer, and it would simplify that calculation process for the department.
Mr. Chair,
Steve,
you might explain that from each due date would depend on the size of the employer and the requirement as to how many times they have to make those payments, and that can be extremely frequent.
Yes, right now in the federal law it could be up to, again, depending on the size of the payroll or the amount to be paid, could be up to 8 times per month or 24 times per quarter.
And the calculation of the interest then would be calculated on 8 different dates during the month, and this is just to make it at the end of a particular quarter?
At the end of the quarter, my understanding is that the employer has to send in a report to the department, which verifies his payment amounts and the dates and make up any difference at that point. And that's the report that the department uses, basic report that the department uses for reconciling their accounts.
We can, before we go ahead and turn to questions, before we can have questions first, one of the things that I'd like to have us do, it sounds like there are a few issues here, and we've had a bit of a scattergun approach, which, not really a scattergun approach, but they've presented the bill to us in concept form, and I think it might be helpful now to take those concepts that were discussed and move through the bill section by section and have those issues explained to us so we can relate the proposed change to the individual section. And I guess do that for both the bill and then go through the amendments and do the same thing for the amendments. Before we do that, Representative Traherne?
Well, I have a question, technical question on the amendments first, Mr. Chairman, but we can get to those when we...
Okay, would you like to? Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman. Harvey, you'd rather do it.
Representative Hugo? I think for the committee, the amendment deals with the bill as we have it on page one, and then section 7 on is a new bill. The amendments present a new bill. So I think we have two bills to deal with here. Senate Bill 182 ends with Section 6. The amendments, -2 amendments, deal with clarification of Section 2, and then we begin with Section 7, creating new additions dealing with retirement systems.
Okay, let's do it this way then. Let's when we get into section two, let's explain the proposed amendments as they fit in, and let's go through the rest of the bill, and then hit section seven, the amendments. Steve?
Okay, section two, one goes back to giving the department some leeway and to allow a different withholding schedule than what is currently required, the federal schedule. And it allows an employer to request that they not have to the department, that they not have to adhere to the federal schedule. And the department then can allow a modification if it's shown that it's the current schedule is an undue burden on the employer. The amendment, first part of the amendments just clarify that language.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
They clarify that language because I asked the question as to whether or not the original language gave too much authority to the department, and I think the response was basically yes, and they attempted to delegate less authority and legally do what was originally proposed in section two.
Okay. I think what I'd like to do is, let's go through the bill, but I think I'd like to hold it over for a work session until the next time we have the opportunity, just to give the other members of the committee the opportunity to read it. Unless the committee, after we go through the explanation, unless we feel like we're all thoroughly enough versed on the bill to be able to proceed with it. If we can make that determination, we get through it. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, may I briefly just describe two other examples the department used for wanting this particular section of the bill. One was basically an employer that, a large employer that has most of its employees out of state and has a few Oregon employees. Right now they have to make the withholding payments based upon their total payroll and not just their Oregon payroll. And then you had the Vancouver situation, and then you also perhaps had a situation where it's one corporation, but they have different payroll units, and it's not a centralized payroll situation, so that sometimes there can be a problem with knowing when they pass the threshold point where they have to make those withholding payments to Oregon. Okay, the next change in the bill is in section three on the second page. That basically says there does not have to be withholding on the salary paid to ministers. This was requested by the department because apparently they have problems with the people that keep the church's books and records and make the payments not being very familiar with withholding and not always either withholding or making the withholding payments timely. Section four.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hostica.
Is there any discussion on that particular feature?
Representative Hanlon.
Mr. Chair, I think it was the sense of the committee, the subcommittee, that it was a change in procedure and how the withholding is done. That is, that the ministers would then be subject to penalties should they not make quarterly payments, but that it was just a change in procedure. There wasn't really any discussion beyond that.
It was also presented, I believe, as a conformance to federal policy in terms of they do not require withholding.
That's correct.
Section 4 then deals with the calculation of interest on late payments of withholding, in terms of it, the interest calculation starting at the end of the quarter rather than each payment due date in the quarter. There is in section 5 is just another technical correction to deal with the interest calculation method. Section 6 has a beginning date of January 1, 1986. And then going back to the new part or what was referred to as the second bill. Here are the amendments, starting in Section 7 on the first page of the amendments. Section 7 deals with the voluntary withholding for federal civil servant pensioners. Section 8 deals with the military withholding for retirees, again voluntary. Section 9 deals with the other financial institutions making periodic payments, distributions, where it would be mandatory, well, would be mandatory unless the recipient requested otherwise, and it also has a maximum amount that could be deducted or withheld, not to exceed 10% of the payment. That portion of the amendments were requested by two legislators, and the department, I believe at the time, was already looking into and supported these amendments.
Steve, or Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Representative Vigo?
I was just asking Representative Hanlon if he remembered an example of Section 9, periodic and non-periodic. What would that apply to? That'd be a trust account paying out under some type of instrument? Or?
Well, I assume that there's various types of agreements that you can enter into with your financial institution or whoever is making the payments as to how you want to receive those payments.
All right. That's right.
Deferred.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further comments, Representative Hanlon?
No, Mr. Chair.
Actually, the bill seems pretty straightforward. What's the desire on the part of the committee? Those members who haven't had the opportunity to read it thoroughly, do you grasp the concepts in it? Are you comfortable in moving forward with it, or would you like to hold it over and have a chance to read it?
Jim Trenton. I'm sorry, I drank too much coffee this morning. I have a technical question on the amendments.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed that. But page 3 of the amendments under Uniform Services, line 20C, item C, describes Uniform Services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Commissioned Corps of the United States Public Health Service, Commissioned Corps of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. Go back to Section 8 on page 2, about the same line, 20-23. It says that the department may enter into an agreement with the United States Department of Defense. Now, some of those agencies are not necessarily part of the Department of Defense. And my question is whether the agreement with the Department of Defense would allow for some of these voluntary withholds from, like, the Coast Guard or the Public Health Service, whether the Department of Defense could be the right agency to make the agreement with.
Very good. Very, yes, you did it very well.
Steve? I do not have an answer for that.
Agencies,
because you only happen to have Section 654, Public Law 98.
I don't know if the department considered that in the drafting or not.
Did the department consider that in the drafting? Please come forward.
You don't have your copy
98.5. No. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jim Brown, Administrator of the Collection Division, the Department of Revenue. I guess a brief answer to that is no.
That was the question.
Mr. Chair.
Same trainer.
Jim, what would happen if we just took out the words Department of Defense and allowed you to enter an agreement with the United States and not identify what department and that government might get us there?
I think if there were a problem, Representative Trahern, that would solve it.
Okay. Representative Trahern moves the deletion of Department of Defense on page 2, line 21.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm
very happy to support deleting the Department of Defense.
Is there an objection?
Mr. Chairman, let me show that motion is not a policy decision.
Same Scott?
Probably ought to say the United States government, the government of the United States.
Okay, and let's see, what would be the proper terminology there, Steve? Enter into the interagreement agreement with the United States government or the government of the United States? Or just the United States? Is there a need to have anything further than the United States? Gary? Did you want to testify on this, Bill? Did you want to make comments on this? If you did, don't run off.
No, not
which is the next one?
No,
it's not. That's not scheduled today.
Okay.
He's just in here hiding.
I would want to check with counsel on that.
Okay, can you do that in the next 30 seconds?
Sure. Try.
Mr. Chair.
Jim McCracken?
Can I have a better explanation of why we are exempting ministers from the withholding requirements of the Department of Revenue here? I understand that real well.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McCracken, essentially the ministers under current federal withholding law are exempt and they are considered self-employed and they file estimated tax payments. And as you recall, back in the 1982 special session when you adopted the federal payment system for dates when federal or when Oregon withholding payments were due, the direction behind that legislation was to conform Oregon withholding law as tightly to federal withholding as possible, make it as easy as possible on employers to determine when they should make their payments and whether they were subject to those requirements. You'll find that in our experience has been with the law as it currently is today, where those people are treated as self-employed, file estimated payments for federal, are treated as employees and are subject to withholding for Oregon, it causes confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to have a lot of people that do books for churches on a volunteer basis. And they have to, under current law, they have to make out, at the end of the year, they have to make out what's called a 1099 NEC for federal, which is a non-employee compensation form stating the amount of money paid. For Oregon, they have to then make out a separate W-2 since there's withholding for Oregon.
Oh.
I think it's very confusing for the church people and causes a lot of errors.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Further questions or discussion at this time?
Mr. Chair.
Hugo?
I don't think there's any disagreement on the committee that we're going to remove the Department of Defense. We're simply waiting to find out what proper word to substitute to refer to the United States government. Is that correct?
Okay. Let's see. Representative...
I think that was a motion in concept then.
Trahern moved to delete the Department of Defense and make whatever addition is necessary to fulfill the intent and made that motion in concept. Is there an objection to that motion impacting page 2, line 21? If not,
Mr. Chair.
City of Hanlon?
I move amendments SB 182A-2 dated 3-18-85.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
City of Mostica?
Yes, just so that nobody questions it, the motion should be in reverse order. But
what?
That Representative Hanlon's motion should have preceded Representative Trahern.
Oh, that's a good point.
Moving somebody's
motion. We didn't have anything to amend there, did we? Okay.
Just so the bill stands.
We'll make just
procedural.
Just so in a court of law, we protect the Coast Guard, the Public Health Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Will replace that motion after we adopt Senator Hanlon's motion. Any further discussion?
Senator
Hanlon votes.
Good morning. Morning.
Must be Friday. Must be my birthday.
Your birthday.
It is. Well, sang happy birthday to me this morning. It must be.
Those of us that were on time.
See, any further discussion on Representative Hanlon's motion? Is there an objection to Representative Hanlon's motion? If not, so ordered. Representative Trahern now moves. Do you have some language for us, Steve?
Yes.
We still need to.
No, I'm not quite sure.
Okay, the suggested language for Section 8, page 2 of the amendments was the Department of Revenue may enter into an agreement with the appropriate United States agency or instrumentality for the voluntary withholding.
Mr. Chair, I so move.
Is there an objection to the Trahern motion? Not so ordered. We now have the bill is amended before us. Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 182 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Tilda, please call the roll on the motion. You can't vote, President Kitzhaber.
Really? You're in my hearing.
That's true.
Everything, President.
Go ahead, Tilda.
Representatives Clory?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Ostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Bracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahan?
Aye.
Burrows?
Aye.
Troops?
Aye.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Well, we don't know, but she won't accept it.
Interesting.
Do you want a report from the Speaker's office?
Yes, report from the Speaker's office.
Well, my tea leaves tell me swans and mountain sheep are out.
Oh, really? Swans and mountain sheep?
How about sturgeon?
Well, I forgot to ask.
And how about perch?
And barfish.
And barfish.
Forgot to ask about...
They're still in.
I'm so sorry, I forgot sturgeon.